This is The Homer They Fall, episode 4F03, original air date November 10th, 1996. I'm Dan Castellaneta, voice of men 1 and 4 at the parole hearing.
I'm Yardley Smith, still the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Mark Kirkland, the director of this episode.
This is Matt Groening. I relate to Milhouse.
George Meyer, cut man.
Josh Weinstein, attendee.
And David Cohen, heavyweight champion of the world.
And now, of course, this episode is written by John Collier, who couldn't be here today, which is too bad. Because he is a big, we'll get into it, he's a huge boxing fan, as were many writers on the show. Now, this sequence on Bonanza, or wait, is this Bonanza?
Yeah.
It is Bonanza. Now, is Bonanza the longest running?
Yes.
So where's Gunsmoke?
Oh, Gunsmoke.
Bonanza ran for a long time.
Bonanza
though.
Ran 20 seasons. Gunsmoke ran, 24 or something.
But it looks like the parody of Bonanza in this episode and That Girl in a later episode this season, really hitting all the contemporary targets.
You know, one of the Cartwright brothers left the show partway through the series.
Yeah.
I was very disturbed as a kid.
You know who was? I can't remember. He played Trapper John, M.D. I can't remember the actor's name. But I was upset, too.
Yeah.
It did. It changed the whole dynamic of the show.
He was the serious, angry one.
Yeah.
There was
He was great
was
to play
Hoss,
off of,
and there
for
was...
Hoss and Little Joe to play off
yeah.
of.
They wanted to lighten
But he really was serious and angry, it turns out.
Now, this parody, we wanted to do, certainly at the time, stores like the Sharper Image and Hammacher Schlemmer were really coming into vogue, so we wanted to do our take on it.
On all the excessively silly gadgets that you can get.
Yeah, all the stuff that you don't need, but might possibly be the world's best.
Exactly.
I'd like the world's best jacket.
The world's best jacket looks a lot like the Simpsons crew jacket, doesn't it?
Have you talked about the Simpsons jacket that is so heavy to wear, and with every year there are more patches, that you slowly become... weighted down. And it's really...
You can't stand up straight to carry it.
Yeah.
You could make a jacket out of all those patches.
I try to wear a hole in a new spot on the jacket each year so that the patch is actually useful, when I get it.
Now, this really like...
I have to say, I saw one of the old, original, great Warner Brothers cartoon directors at a showing of cartoons, not Chuck Jones, but one of the other ones, and he was wearing a Warner Brothers jacket with Tweety Bird and Sylvester and Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and stuff, and he was a very old guy, and I said, I will never do that when I grow old. I will never wear a jacket with all these cartoon characters all over it and look like an idiot. And today... la, la, la. I don't care how sweaty I get. I just wear it all the time.
I also wanted to mention we loved the pairing of the comic book guy and the sarcastic guy who had never. He was comic book guy was finally sarcastic.
Both played by Hank, giving him a shot to himself.
Hey, dude, he's ragging on your cord. Get him.
Shouldn't we have a joke as he's running down the hall? And someone just said, have JD say no running. And you're like, okay, we'll get past that part.
Oh, that was a bad mislead.
Help.
I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you guys asked for it. Can't you read? Call the police!
I was once at a city park with my kids, and a guy dressed as Batman was handing out flyers saying he would perform at children's parties. And kids were giving him a hard time. He goes, watch out or I'll pull a weapon out of my weapons belt. And this little kid said, it's a utility belt, stupid.
To the Batmobile. See, actors have to do their research.
Boy, howdy.
Now, Mark, I was wondering, because whenever you have something in something that's a little unusual, you think it's going to come into play, just like Jimbo's cord belt did.
Yeah.
But Homer's blueberry pie, I was waiting for there to be something about the blueberry pie, and there was not. Was there ever any... finger, or it's just like it was a nice piece of pie for him to eat.
It was just something we did, and no.
Was it somebody's favorite blueberry?
No,
not even.
You know, and then the color picked their color for it, and
I find it entertaining that both this episode and Homer Palooza are based on the premise that Homer can take a tremendous amount of physical punishment without passing out.
I wasn't paying attention. Were those Jumbo Dolphin Kearney?
Yeah, they're dads.
Now,
those are new. That was the first appearance, right? Only appearance?
First and last.
I think so. I like that he's using gin to clean Homer up here.
It's like an old, of course, because Mo is one of the old-timey denizens of Springfield who loves old-timey crap and remedies like alcohol to heal wounds and stuff.
And it's also his character, too. I really think I could do it.
Well, I don't know. Are you man enough? That's right. And that's part of the origin of this episode was like, oh, we could have a Homer and Mo story, which we hadn't really done.
Mo's a great character. He's such a broken man. And yet, soldiers on.
He's probably one of the most hate-filled guys in Springfield, but he still has a little bit of compassion that comes through.
Way more heart, I think, than Burns.
We've never used this room again.
We hadn't had no ladies in here since 1979. I turned it into an office.
Mo's office. Whenever I can in these environments, I try to show a bare light bulb because
I was gonna say, the lighting
there's
is
nothing
beautiful.
More depressing than a bare light bulb.
Not just Mo's bar, but the ladies' room in Mo's bar.
If you look careful behind Homer's arm, there's a poster there. And Bill and Josh honored both David Silverman and I right there, Kirkland versus Silverman.
There's also Sislak versus Oakley, an actual drawing of Bill there as well.
My manager. Back when I was gorgeous, everybody wanted a piece of me. But somehow I just never...
I watched a lot of boxing films to get up to this. And looking at it today, I'm real happy with the staging and the layout.
Homer, of all the crazy ideas you've had, this one ranks somewhere in the middle. You're 38 years old. You don't know how to box, and you haven't gotten any exercise since grade school. Before you even consider this, I insist you consult a doctor.
No problem.
A competent doctor!
Don't! Well, sir.
Oh, I just want to mention that you see Grandpa sitting at the table and he doesn't say anything. And it's, again, that's what we were talking about. It's when Grandpa's there, there's usually something that happens. There is a deleted scene that is going to be on this DVD of Grandpa talk. He actually talks about the history of Simpson men and how they were good boxers. And you can watch that. It gives a little background for it, but we had to cut it for time.
We knew that the people on the internet were going to give us grief for having Homer fighting for the heavyweight championship, saying it was implausible. So we went to a considerable amount of effort to explain why he could do it.
It seems plausible.
I remember that surgical 2x4 was one of the things that really entertained us in the writing room for several days.
And then you see it and it's just thud, clunk.
Hey, I have a theoretical writing question for you, Josh, because we're doing three commentaries today, not to give away too much about the process, but it's the Homer They Fall, Burns, Baby Burns, and the Old Man and Lisa. And I just, having looked at them all last night, I noticed none of them have a B story. They're all like movies where it's just the A story all the way through. Was that a conscious thing you and Bill were trying to do this season?
No, I think it was just these stories took so much time to tell that we were like, I think we learned in the 7th season that we had to cut a couple of these stories and cut them way down. It was like, let's not bother and waste people's time, writing time, when we know we're going to have to cut it, when we just want to let the stories play out. So it's more like we learned a mistake.
I like it personally because it does feel less like a TV show and more like an epic movie. And B, you still get the feeling that things are jumping around because you see everybody's opinion about the story, and it still has the same energy as if it had two or three stories going. But it's interesting. It makes it different from other shows on the air.
I love this upcoming scene where Homer's boxing the hobo from the boxcars.
And is that like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope thing? I'll let them punch me until they collapse?
Yeah, that was, I guess, the genesis of that.
But now these hobos, it just seems like a real Schwarzwelder thing. But
George pitched a lot of this stuff too. And I remember specifically in the room, I was baffled by the idea that the hobo kept looking back to see if his bindle was still there.
Bundle?
I'm sorry, his bindle.
The bindle, I tells you.
And that you, George, laughed incredibly hard. And I said, this is not going to play. And even at the animatic, I didn't think it was going to work.
We insisted it stay because it was so funny in the stage direction, where he periodically checks his bindle. Because the stage direction that someone periodically checks their bindle had not been written in 50 years until this script.
Or ever.
It was written every day for 20 years and then never for 50 years.
This was kind of inspired by Raging Bull. The music I was hoping would be a little more Italian for that flavor, but...
Isn't this like the music they do have in Raging Bull?
They had more operatic because of the Italian...
I think this is like a parody of it.
Yeah. That is a George Bellows painting right there, that
mimics... Oh, right. Yeah, is it an ash can?
Something at Shark... Stag at Sharky's, I think, is the name of it.
I have to go back for a second. Was that music an original composition by Alf Clausen?
I think it was.
It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
He really could do, you say do any type of musical piece and he would do it.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
I heard that after this parody of him appeared, Don King was just devastated and had to take to his bed for a number of weeks.
It's really well done. This is done by Paul Winfield, who is one of those great underrated actors. And I think Bill directed him, but apparently he was really like tickled and happy to be doing it and was having a lot of fun with it.
The script described this character, Lucius Sweet, as a Don King type who looks and sounds exactly like Don King.
And you couldn't get Don King to do a parody of himself?
I'm reasonably certain that they tried to get Don King and he said,
I will not do that. The Simpsons too?
I just need a body who can sustain verticality for 3 rounds.
Yeah, but Homer's no boxer. He's just a freak. Tate him or fustigate him.
Well, fustigation aside, Mo.
I love that line. That's a line we often said years later.
But he really does use words like trickerations.
Don King does in real life?
He makes up a lot of words.
Do you guys like to come up with these words? I mean, not make them up, but find them? Do you like go through thesauruses or
For Burns and Grandpa, I give credit to Robert L. Chapman, author of The Thesaurus of American Slang and The Thesaurus of 19th Century Slang. He is the uncredited writer on many episodes because we'd constantly pour through thesauri by him to find just the right word and to be like a list of 20 old-time ailments and that sort of thing. So,
Schwarzwelder thinks it's cheating to use the thesaurus, by the way.
Really?
I'm just saying, yeah.
Now, what's wrong with cheating?
But now that you mention it, I brought a little show and tell that I'll just mention very briefly, which is the Simpsons Rewrite Room Dictionary, speaking of thesauruses. Because during our time, at least, we didn't allow any... Oh, this is a wonderful voice by Hank, by the way. I'm going to be very quick with this. We didn't allow any other reading material in a rewrite room because it would be distracting. If someone else was reading a magazine, you'd be like, why can't I read a magazine or a novel? And so the only reading material in the room was the thesaurus and a dictionary. And so, stuck for hours in the rewrite room trying to come up with one lousy joke, you'd get distracted and you had two choices. You could either stuff your face with food, which a lot of us did, or you could read a dictionary. And what happened is very slowly people started writing jokes in this dictionary, and it slowly became as important as writing the script that you'd have to write a really good joke in a dictionary, and then it became a game to go through the whole dictionary and try to find what someone had written. And so it became our only solace during a couple of very long years. And so people wrote many different things, including Matt wrote Property of Martin Prince.
Oh,
I bought a dictionary. But there's a lot of great little jokes in this
dictionary.
This will
be a DVD extra?
We're going to be issuing this dictionary when we finally run out of other Simpsons books. But I just want to say that's a little rewrite room story.
I came up with the name Dredrick Tatum early on. He was named after a high school basketball player, and I think his name was Dredrick Timmons. He was one of the All-Americans, I think. And I just thought that was such a cool name, Dredrick. And so we just changed it a little bit.
Also, just for the sense of history, when we were doing this, and when I was doing it, Mike Tyson, who looks exactly like Dredrick looks just like Mike Tyson, was so feared as a boxer. And I think, especially like this ad, was very just mimicked right from real life of Mike Tyson. I guess that's obvious, but it may not be in the future.
That's true, because he really was the most feared, scary boxer ever.
And he had a crime, and he was locked up in prison and released. And
hey,
I like that title, Payback, against a guy he's never met.
Yeah.
Now, here's something that just happens really quickly. All those people...
dressed like that?
Dressed like
that was a reference to
stereotypical fashion.
I remember watching a Muhammad Ali fight and seeing all the people arriving dressed up like, you know, pimps and stuff. And
I believe there was another, a bigger joke that we cut from that. But now it's just an odd little thing.
If Homer gets killed in the ring tonight, it'll be because of your negative attitude. There, I said it.
Now, is this the beginning of Homer taking other jobs and leaving the plant?
I think continuation.
Did it start like with Homer Palooza? And even before that, there would be...
lots of nice lighting in this.
Yeah. In the early days, we would explain why Homer got leave from the plant and stuff to do these other jobs, and those seeds always ended up getting cut, so finally we just went for it. Of course,
we started talking about, shouldn't you be at work, and then now we don't even reference it.
And who's finding the quickie mark? Yeah. Forget it.
We were all delighted to see the real Michael Buffer.
Oh, yes. Now, there's certain celebrities who would come that the writers would go crazy for, and people you wouldn't think, but because a lot of writers love boxing, and Michael Buffer is like a really exciting guy, and we just wanted to hear him speak.
And he actually came to the table reading, I remember. It's very exciting. I mean, one thing is, when you get a guest star who is a star because of their voice, that actually creates a big explosion of entertainment at the table reading.
Yes, when you first hear the voice, I can't believe it. It's that voice coming out of that man.
I always have the same reaction. You sound like you.
Why was Krusty's other hair lopped off?
The fan.
The fan man.
For the fan man who comes to
And that
see,
guy...
the ref in there was actually a real ref that we mimicked. We studied a Tyson fight at this era. And the ref looked just like that, so we made him look like that. This shot right here was referenced directly from a Tyson fight.
I love
it.
The music is
gangsters.
So good.
This was a great joke, probably the best of the episode when Homer comes out.
Yes. But Tyson pretty much looked like that.
I love when we use the real music, too, because it's exciting.
I believe the name of this song is misspelled in the Simpsons Guide to Our Favorite Family. What I'm looking at right here.
Who is this? Cypress Hill?
It says it's Redman, but it says it's time for some Akazan. But I believe the song is time for some action. Spelled
great, great music choice.
Yeah.
And do you say why he's called the Southern Dandy?
Because like old-time boxers would have names like that.
Well, Bo Williford was the Southern Gentleman, so maybe it was a reference to that.
And sort of wrestlers like Gorgeous George and that sort of.
Sure.
I also loved it because it had nothing to do with Homer.
I like how his gown says opponent on the back. Ready to rumble!
We really thought of a good take on his catchphrase, let's get ready to rumble.
Did we even discuss having a parody of it?
And didn't he copyrighted that, right? Let's get ready to rumble? Like, nobody else can say that?
I think you're right.
When doing the animation for this, we tried to make these punches feel painful.
This is, I have to say, there's so much really well done realistic brutality in this episode where it really does feel like a real boxing.
I went to one fight once in Las Vegas with Bill Oakley, and we had kind of crummy seats, medium to crummy seats, and you couldn't hear the punches, and it made it seem like it was a very gentle, you know, pleasant affair up there. It really, the audio is a big part of what makes it sound so awful and scary.
Now, I remember at the table read, Hank started cracking up at that line. It was like one of those David Cohen moments where we had to stop.
Now, the ending of this episode was a little controversial. Some people thought it was a deus ex machina when Mo comes in with the hang glider. But, of course, it was based on a real event. In the second Bo Holyfield fight, a crazed fan entered the ring that way. So at least it had that going for it. I'm not saying it's plausible.
I like it because it's more exciting, but just stop the fight.
Yeah. Remember when that fan flew into the ring... The other fans got so mad they almost beat him to death. Do you remember that? It's like,
they had bets on the fight.
Justified.
Don't disrupt the boxing match. Disrupt the soccer game or something.
This is scary. Everybody wants blood.
Where's the doctor?
Yes, you know, I like, David, your point earlier, too. It's like you really do, because we're just concentrating on this story, you really feel
there's drama
right here. And yeah,
a lot
drama.
Of use of slow motion here, which was also in Raging Bull.
Right. And also the sound, I'll say, from what Travis did, too, there's a lot of really complicated, excellent sounds done for all of this.
How come Michael Buffer is now just talking during the fight? He doesn't usually do that.
And in the tradition of all announcers, he's just kind of narrating important exposition.
This episode really does, you know, the classic when, you know, Homer in pain is funny. And so even there, we got to get one more in.
There's also a lot of debate about this Astrodome building. It's like, well, you have to have a hole for him to go out, but you need a dome earlier, so we had a little hole in the center of the dome.
Lucius, would you do that for me?
Absolutely, I would. Now get in the van. You couldn't even give me one lousy round, Mo. You will always be a loser. Now take your check for $100,000 and get out of here.
Watch how carefully he folds it.
Oh, Homie, are you okay?
I can't remember where we parked.
That's all right. We'll just wait till everyone else leaves.
I got your tooth, Dad.
Is one of his eyeballs is intentionally a little bigger than the other to give that lopsided feel?
Well, in this case, he's got a swollen eye, yeah.
Marge, I was able to stick up for a pal. Well...
Yeah, I really like how he lifts. Someone slowly lifting up off screen is always funny.
The great thing, too, is all this happened because Homer was trying to get a belt back.
I also like the handman called it a contraption. He doesn't even have a name for his own thing.
That's a real thing. You can get one of those and fly around. You can just fly in the sky if you have one of those. But no one does it.
You should. Now, this was going to be a spin-off, The Life and Times of Morris Issac, which was going to be the first dramatic animated show where Mo goes around helping people, but Fox...
Did you say Morris?
Go for it. Morris Issac, yeah.
Morris?
His name is Morris?
Yes.
Really?
Really?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Really?
Morris?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is.
His name was calling him Morris.
Well, we had one where he was Momar as well. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's inconsistent.
Oh, no.